My first guest in this edition is Iowa Congressman Steve King, a Republican from the Hawkeye State's 5th Congressional District. He's also a member of the House Small Business Committee. We want to get his thoughts as President Obama offers some help, he says, for small businesses, especially in the loosening up of loans for small business owners. And Congressman, it's good to have you with us. Thanks for your time.
Well, it's good to be back with you. Thanks for having me on.
Well, this effort certainly carries a much smaller price tag than some of the other economic initiatives endorsed by this White House, but this one specifically focusing on small business owners. The president saying that loosening up the lines of credit and making loans more available is the lifeblood of America's small business engine, which is in a lot of ways the lifeblood of our economy. What do you make of his approach today?
Well, I think that the tone of it was good, and I think that the symbolism of it is good. And you know, it's been presented as a 90% guarantee of small business loans. And so that's positive. But, you know, the standards that we've had before were either 70 or 85% small business guarantees if you meet those certain standards. And that still requires standards to be met at 90%. And so there will be some people that will be helped. They'll be helped in the margins. But it's not the loan so much as business needs. It's an active market. They need customers, and they'd be able to turn a profit. And there have been many things that have been done by the Obama administration that move it in the other direction. First of all, you know, he essentially told Joe the plumber, I'm going to tax the small business people, those that are the 250,000 and up. And some of that conversation has been of gross receipts. And it's unclear yet as whether it would be adjusted gross receipts or net profit. And so I say this, that as a small businessman, and I have spent 28 years in a business that I started and sold to my oldest son, so King Construction has gone on now for more than three decades. And I know this, that when you're in a squeeze, being able to borrow the money to keep your operation going is a very good thing. And I have been flooded out and felt some of that. But the other side is that sometimes you're in a situation where it's not another loan that you need. You need a good, positive business climate. So what I would suggest is let's take the burden of regulation off of these small businesses and free them up so that they can do business. Part of every package that's come out of this Congress has been the imposition of Davis-Bacon wage scale. That's union scale imposed on construction projects. There's no reason in the world why the federal government should tell me that I can't go to work for my son at a price per hour that the two of us would agree on. But that's what Davis-Bacon does. It raises the cost, adds to regulation. It's one example. And so I just don't think this is a business-friendly administration. Look across his cabinet and see who's written out a payroll check. How many of them? I think Bob Gates has. Maybe Ken Salazar. After that, I don't think there's anybody in the cabinet that's ever hired an employee unless they were domestic that should have actually. Well, anyway, you know what I'm saying on that, Greg. So symbolism is good. It will help some people in the margins, but there's much more that we should do to get this economy going, and the government can't first give somebody a benefit without taking it away from somebody else.
Congressman, a couple of points you raised there. Let's talk about them individually. First of all, the issue of dealing with regulation. This is an administration that blames deregulation over the previous 8 years for some of our economic woes, even though trying to find where the Bush administration deregulated can be a very difficult process. What regulations, in addition to the ones you mentioned, do you think need to be addressed, and what other regulatory steps or deregulatory steps would you endorse?
Well, I can go for the regulation enhancement side is an easier list to put together. I've introduced legislation to do some of this, and that is that first the regulation that I would eliminate would be the Community Reinvestment Act. That essentially required bad loans to be made in neighborhoods that were risky. And it was probably well-intentioned, but it was the foundation for the problems that we have with these toxic mortgage-backed securities. I would get rid of the Community Reinvestment Act. Then I would regulate Fannie and Freddie to where they had to be capitalized and regulated like the other lending institutions, and then privatize them. That's two steps along the way, and sometimes that's a big business solution rather than a small business solution, but everybody would be encompassed by that. And then I would do, if President Obama is willing to look through these budgets line item by line item to for that needs to go out, By the way, he didn't actually do that on the omnibus bill. We still end up with 8,000 to 9,000 earmarks in there. But why not go down line item by line item through all of these government regulations and see where we can take the burden off of small business especially? Large business advocates for regulation because they have departments that can handle regulation, and they know that it helps keep their competition out, which comes from small business. So I would do a full inventory of all these regulations. And another thing that I would do is pass legislation here in Congress that requires every rule and regulation, before it has the force and effect of law, to be brought back to an affirmative up or down vote before Congress. If we would do that, then members of Congress would be accountable, and we'd have an opportunity to go in and fix some of these regulatory problems that make it too much of a burden. That's some of the ways that I'd approach this, Greg, and it is a big problem that has been accumulating over generations, and this is a time for us to take a new look.
We're talking with Iowa Congressman Steve King, a Republican from his state's 5th Congressional District. He's also a member of the Small Business Committee in the House of Representatives. And, Congressman, another thing you alluded to in the past few minutes here in referencing Joe the Plumber and some other things is the tax burden that some small business owners could be facing soon. If, in fact, the president is successful in allowing the Bush tax cuts to expire in less than 2 years from now, especially if they file as individuals in terms of their business tax status, what is your approach on the tax front in terms of helping small business owners and also making sure they have enough customers?
Well, I have for now, it would come to 29 years, been for scrapping the tax code entirely. And it comes from having been audited one too many years in a row. And I remember that year that it finally got my ire up was audited for 1979. And I sat there and thought, why are they here in my office? Why am I being worked over? I'm creating jobs and doing the American dream. And so I began to calculate what we would do if we were just simply rid of the IRS and the federal income tax code. You replace that revenue stream only one way, and that's by going to a national sales tax. If you do that, you take the tax off of all productivity in America. The federal government has the first lien on all earnings, savings, and investment in America, and that is a punishment for production. What you tax, you get less of. We take the tax off of production, we put it on consumption, we get a lot more production, a lot more competition, and the calculus that especially the small business owners are making when they decide if they want to expand or follow a different path or alter their business model would not have to include the tax calculation. It would be a profit calculation, a production calculation, and a competitive calculation instead. That's the biggest thing we could do, and it would give U.S. manufacturing a 28% marketing advantage over products that are made overseas.
And what's your prediction here if, in fact, the taxes do go up in the beginning of 2011? They're allowed to expire. You've been a small business owner. Don't know if you would have fit into that tax bracket or not, but for those that do, what will the rolling back of those tax cuts mean for their bottom line?
Well, here's how I look at it, and they will be deciding whether they're going to expand their business or whether it'll be a bigger percentage of their business that will be to go off for taxes. That means the cost of capital has gone up. That means the return on your investment is guaranteed to be less. I fought this struggle through all my years of, do I want to take money out of the business and, let's say, remodel the house, for example? And I always resisted that because I wanted the maximum amount of capital in the business to grow the business. And then I always told my wife, well, later on we can deal with that, but right now we're growing a business. If you take capital out of the business through taxes or through some other reason, you diminish your ability to grow, and it diminishes the growth in our economy. That will be the result of letting the Bush tax cuts expire, and that will be the result of taxing small business.
A couple minutes left with Iowa Congressman Steve King. And, Congressman, I want to go back to those consumers you mentioned before, that you need customers to stay successful in business in a difficult economic environment. And this question can go in terms of policy or just business principles. What's the best way to continue to draw customers in a time when folks are obviously a lot tighter with their money?
That is a very, very tough question. It'll depend on which business the person's in, what the market is, and what your competition is. People will shift their patterns. And I'll just offer this piece of, I'm going to call it advice, and I'm generally try not to do that. But this is what I've called my sons together and given them this little talk, and that is, spend your spare time searching the internet, the library, wherever you can find the sources, and read everything you can find about how people made real good money during the 30s. Some got rich in the 30s. They were running counter to the direction of the economy. They found their niche. Study all of those that you can. Identify the common denominators and the people that were successful in an economic downturn. Then modernize those standards to modern technology in today's economy and fit yourself into that. If you can do that, as long as then you have an opportunity to have a very successful time during a poor economy. If you can't do that, you might be a victim if you're in business. And this trend, this spending trillions of dollars to bail us, to do the bailout, doesn't guarantee a recovery, but it guarantees that when this recovery comes, it will take longer, it will delay the recovery, because government is taking capital out of the recovery process and sucking it up themselves. They can never spend that as efficiently as we can.
Congressman, unfortunately, our time is up, sir. It's great to have you on the program.
I'm looking forward to a chance to be back, too. It's my privilege today. Thank you very much.
Excellent. Iowa Congressman Steve King represents the state's 5th Congressional District, member of the House Small Business Committee. This is Dateline Washington.